Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include, absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right, we guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Okay, so I set this up before, and I welcome Eric Lipton to the conversation. You can check out his excellent work, New York Times, newyorktimes.com, where money and presidents, and for some people in our audience, their opinion is going to be solely shaped by, well, I'm a Democrat, so I'm going to point the finger at Republicans, and vice versa. And we can cite a number of presidents who entered the White House at one financial level, and then when we talk about years later, they're at a different financial level. Now, how much of that happens while they're the president? That's a part of this conversation, because Eric has offered up multiple stories about Donald Trump in crypto, Donald Trump in meme coins, and still the traditional business, which in theory, if you accept what the president is saying, and I'll just admit I'm dubious, that when he says he has no contact at all with Eric Trump, his middle son who runs it, or Donald Trump Jr. I just don't believe that. Now, I think he's plenty busy, but I think this business has been his life for decade after decade after decade, so I don't think he's completely divorced from that. So, Eric, when you have spent time, and I'm sure it's been dozens and dozens of hours looking at this, and Trump and money and profiting, which aspect of this stands out the most for legitimate, fair journalism scrutiny?
I think that the issue is, first of all, that Trump benefits financially from a lot of his existing business enterprises. So while he turned over these assets to his sons back in January of 2017, when he was first elected and served his first term, he signed a document that legally assigned those assets to his two oldest sons. He continues to be the financial beneficiary of those assets. So he still personally collects revenues and profits from those businesses every year. And we see that in his annual financial disclosure report, which he is required under federal law to file either as a candidate for office or as an elected official. And so, you know, he asserts that he does not have a conflict of interest, for example, when at the Trump Doral golf course in near Miami, Florida, when the Saudis have a LIV Golf sponsored tournament there, and that therefore effectively the Saudi government is bringing, you know, filling up the hotel and the restaurants and paying a fee to host that tournament. and it's funded by the Sovereign Wealth Fund of the Saudi Arabia. And so, you know, he would say, well, I don't have a conflict of interest, even though I'm talking to the Saudis about potentially giving them F-35 fighter jets or, you know, civilian nuclear technology that the United States has. And it's not influenced in any way by the fact that the Saudis, you know, are paying my family because that's my sons and not me. But in fact, the Trump Durrell is producing revenue for Donald J. Trump as an individual in addition to his sons. And now, similarly, with the cryptocurrency mm-hmm. that the Trump family has set up, both the meme coin, which is selling dollar sign Trump meme coins as a collectible, or World Liberty Financial, a second cryptocurrency company. Again, his sons, you know, are kind of running that operation, that business. And when I looked at the incorporation records, for example, associated with World Liberty Financial, it's, you know, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump that are listed as the board members. But then when you look at the financial disclosure report for the limited liability corporation that Donald Jr. and Eric are running, the financial benefits again go to Donald J. Trump, the president.
Yeah.
And so Donald J. Trump is appointing the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission that sets rules around cryptocurrency. And so he is therefore effectively the chief regulator in the United States. And he is one of the biggest stablecoin and cryptocurrency operators in the world. So he is one of the most important potential regulatory targets or regulated parties.
Yes.
So he is simultaneously both the regulator and the regulated. And that is, you know, now he may not be running the cryptocurrency company, but he is a financial beneficiary of it. So those are two examples. I could go on, unfortunately, for about an hour because there are so many of them and we've been busy writing about them. But they are everywhere I look. And there are many of them. There are more than I have ever seen. There are more than multiple presidential historians that I've spoken with have ever seen in terms of the number of personal financial benefits that the president is receiving at the same time as he is serving as president. There's more than any presidential historian that I've spoken with, people who've written books about Reagan and Ford and, you know, Republicans. They've never seen anything like this. And also, you know, there are ethics lawyers that I've spoken with that served in the Bush White House or in the, you know, in the Obama White House. You know, okay, there's a D and there's an R, and both of them say that they've never seen anything like this. Where there now, there have been relatives of presidents. Neil Bush was in the banking industry when George W. Bush was president, and Billy Carter was selling Billy beer, and he also was actually doing some inappropriate lobbying for the government of Libya when Jimmy Carter was president. And Hunter Biden, of course, was selling his name to all kinds of overseas parties inappropriately and unethically while his dad was vice president. And then when his dad was president, he was selling artwork to a guy, a private citizen who, you know, had some political connections to the party and in a way that was suspicious and probably inappropriate. But those are kind of trivial by comparison to what we've seen. The government of the United Arab Emirates just about a week ago announced that it was committing $2 billion worth of stablecoin tokens to World Liberty Financial, $2 billion. And now, you know, I mean, if Hunter Biden was selling his paintings, I mean, maybe, you know, we're talking like tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars. Or if he was working for China or for, you know, Ukraine or various parties overseas, we're talking like, you know, pennies compared to, you know, again,
scale,
inappropriate.
Eric, scale matters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's the thing that we're observing. I mean, when the government of the United Arab Emirates puts $2 billion into World Liberty Financial and suddenly overnight makes it into one of the largest stablecoin issuers in the world, and World Liberty Financial therefore can invest that $2 billion and it takes the yield. So it's like it takes the yield from that savings account and that's its revenue and profits.
Yeah.
And so therefore the money that the United Arab Emirates put into the Trump family's business is generating tens of millions of dollars of yield annually that benefit the Trump sons and their father. That appears to be a real conflict of interest when he is about to fly over to the Middle East and meet with the leaders of Saudi Arabia and Qatar and United Arab Emirates to talk about, you know, weapons and peace matters and, you know, and potential technology transfers. is that influenced? Is that not influenced by the fact that they have a personal financial relationship to him? That's an unusual question to have to be thinking about with respect to an American president, but that's the question we now face.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Eric Lipton from the New York Times. You can hear his knowledge on this topic and the amount of work he and his team have done. So let's just stay with crypto. I want you to expand on how the president just dramatically changed his view on crypto, that before was dismissing it, really was acting like he didn't know anything about it, was old school as he is in so many ways, you know, of, well, this is how it was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and we're not going to change. And how he came to it. And then because so much of this country is still confused by crypto, who has it, what's legit, where are the regulations, how that maybe has played a part when the conversation has not risen to the level that it may have if it was a financial concept that more of the public readily understood.
Yeah, I mean, crypto is very complicated, and it's one of the challenges that we face as reporters. My colleagues, David Yaffe Bellany and Ben Protest and others, as we write about this, and we try to write about it in terminology that is easy to understand, and we actually included definitions in one of our recent pieces so that there's terms like a stable coin or a meme coin, that as you're reading the story, we have actually sort of like a dictionary of what these different terms mean. But, you know, Trump himself had called cryptocurrency the kind of the venue of drug dealers and money launderers, and it's, you know, not real money, and it's not something I want to be involved with. And that was just a few years ago. And then he was running for re-election, and you know, Trump is a very perceptive guy, and he saw that there were millions of dollars of campaign contributions that were there for the taking if he embraced crypto, and he did embrace it. And he began to receive large checks from the cryptocurrency industry, which was very frustrated with Joe Biden and the aggressive regulatory structure that they had adopted, which was filing lawsuits against, you know, almost 100 different cryptocurrency companies during the 4 years that Biden was president. There were different litigations filed by the Securities and Exchange Commission. They were really frustrated. It was significantly curtailing the growth of the industry, and they wanted a new leader who was basically going to smash the SEC. And Trump started to say that he would do just that. He would dismiss the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, and he, you know, made these promises, and he got, you know, millions and millions of dollars in campaign contributions, and then he was elected, and among the first things he did was appoint a new acting chairman and now a permanent chairman at the SEC, and one of the first things they did was dismiss most of those pending cases.
Right.
And they actually gave a pardon to Arthur Hayes, who'd been convicted of Bank Secrecy Act violations, and was pending, had to pay a $10 million fine that was about to be due. And it turns out Arthur Hayes, of course, is a partner of World Liberty Financial. So, you know, and so he gives a pardon to Arthur Hayes just before his $10 million payment for restitution is due. And he shuts down, you know, he puts on hold or shuts down the SEC case involving Tron and Justin Sun, who's put $75 million into World Liberty. So, I mean, that is an unambiguous conflict of interest. I mean, that is, there's nothing, there's no apparent conflict of interest. That is a conflict of interest.
Without a doubt.
And we don't see that many like that in presidential history.
Eric, you laid it out extraordinarily well. I'm following your work. It's absolutely worth paying attention to. I appreciate your time. We'll reach out to you again down the line. Thank you so much for coming
on. Great. Yeah, please, I urge people to read these stories. I mean, there's a massive amount of labor involved, and you know, you only get accountability if people are informed.
Yes.
And they talk about it, and they you know, you need to be informed. And I, you know, a lot of people are just sort of turning away from this because they're either, you know, they love Trump or they hate Trump, and,
yep,
and they
right.
just are turning away. But I just think it's super important, you know, love him or hate him, please be informed. And we are working extremely hard. We actually have reporters who are deployed around the world, and we are, you know, this is our job. And believe me, it's exciting and interesting work, but it's a lot of work. And we're committed to bringing transparency to these things. So I would just ask people to consider reading these stories, because I think that we all want to be informed, and that's the way that democracy works, is if you are an informed citizen. So please consider, you know, reading these stories and sharing them and talk about them and make up your own minds. But we're just going to, you know, present the information as we see it.
I echo every single word you just said. I'm going to expand on it when we come back. Thank you again for your time. Keep working.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Eric Lipton from the New York Times. Could not agree more with the last part on consuming information, seeking out further information. And I want to pick up on that, but I want you to react to what Eric had to say about his work and his last comments. Text me, 651-461-9226. Okay, I'm talking Stretch Lab here.
Okay.
Yeah, I was bending my knees pretty good there, wasn't I?
Yeah, that was not a great stretch. You can do better.
Any better?
I think you need somebody to help you out.
A little better up on the side. A little better. I still got that side issue. I need to go to Stretch Lab. I might even call Stretch Lab during the break, because I got a little bit of time before we're going to get some food and some music. I could go to the one by the lakes, not too far
away.
You'd
feel a lot better after the concert tonight, standing up for those eight hours of Sparkle Sturgeon.
Yeah, I'm not going to be standing for all 8 hours of the Sparkler, but I am going to be standing for plenty at the Armory. And, I mean, I'm 180 years old, so I want to feel a little better. I want to actually maybe hold a golf club again when this intercostal muscle. I may have the intercostal muscles removed. Apparently, you need them to breathe. I'm not sure.
Nah.
Stretch Lab has been helping me out with the side. Some of the side here just has to heal. Hamstrings, tight. Glutes, tight. A little rotator cuff issue. Whatever you might have, and you might think you have nothing. So stay ahead of the game. You might have a significant problem. Let them work with you. 11 locations. Trained specialists. Hit that golf ball a little bit further. See that? I knocked my papers on the ground. I was so enthusiastic about it. That's all the swinging I can do right now. Run a little quicker. I like all the folks there, and they're very good at what they do. StretchLab.com.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.